This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Thousands of people at a victory parade for Liverpool's win in the Premier League Championship when a 53-year-old man, police say, plowed his minivan into them. More than 45 people were hurt. However, says ABC's Ian Pannell,
the police very clearly saying that at this point in time, they don't believe that it was terrorism. They don't believe anyone else was involved in this. I guess the key questions for them now is what led up to this in the first place? What was the trigger if indeed this wasn't a deliberate attack, as appears to be the case right now?
In Philadelphia, two people were killed. Several more were hurt after a mass shooting in the city's Fairmount Park that happened last night. Two of the 10 escaped New Orleans jail inmates are still on the loose. Three of them were captured on Monday. Today's the last day to book a flight on Southwest Airlines without being hit with a $35 fee to check your bag. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Lawmakers at the Capitol hear testimony on a bill to provide veterans benefits for those who served in Laos in support of U.S. during the Vietnam War. Department of Veterans Affairs Assistant Deputy Secretary Joey Hoy says the bill would make it so the department could more readily and easily work with this group of veterans who served alongside U.S. forces. Many Hmong Lao soldiers and their families were forced to flee their homes after the Vietnam War and resettle throughout the U.S., including in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's two largest counties face budget shortfalls next year. Wisconsin Act 12 gave Milwaukee County authority for a new 0.4% sales tax implemented last year, which provided a brief surplus. Now faced with a $46.7 million budget deficit for 2026, the county is planning major spending cuts for the first time in years. That's likely to include cutting raises for county employees and across-the-board departmental spending cuts. In Dane County, a projected $31 million budget deficit for next year has County Executive Melissa Agard asking departments to submit budgets with a 4% base reduction and to refrain from requesting new staff positions or major capital projects. A motorcyclist was injured Saturday afternoon. At approximately 12:05, the Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a motorcycle accident at the intersection of County Road Double D and County Road W in the township of Waldwick. Mineral Point EMS, the Mineral Point Fire Department, and Iowa County Sheriff's deputies responded to the scene. The driver was transported by ambulance to a local hospital. The driver's name has not been released. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers host the Red Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game two of the three-game series tonight at AmFam Field between the Brewers and the Boston Red Sox. Jackson Churio got things started early yesterday for the crew. First pitch in the bottom of the first. FanDuel, Wisconsin.
Swinging it.
The Brewers went on to win 3-2. Did Churio's leadoff homer set the tone? Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it always sets a tone when you come out ready and the first hitter that you have kind of makes a statement.
Closer Trevor McGill got out of a jam in the ninth to get the save in front of a sellout crowd of over 40,000 fans. Did that help?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this stadium gets rocking when there's, you know, a bunch of people in it, and definitely felt that. So, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed pitching here in Milwaukee, and thank you for the fans for coming out.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers, even a rumble of thunder or two possible today, tonight into tomorrow. Won't be a lot of rain, though. Maybe a tenth of an inch or more, a little more in a few spots. Today, mostly cloudy, 68. Tonight, we'll drop down to near 50. Tomorrow, our highs will be in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, May 27th. Hope everybody had a really nice holiday weekend. Greg Bach is in Radio Park. Parker Olson is in Madison. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. Coming up in just a bit, author Laura Bird will be joining us, and we'll talk about summer reads. What are going to be the hot new books this summer that you might want to consider picking up? What's the best way to go about picking up those books? And what's the best way to go about learning what's coming up next in the world of literature and book publishing? So we'll look forward to talking to Laura coming up at about 7:30 for that. A very busy day on the comment section today, and so I want to hit the I'm going to go a bit out of order here because I want to hit some safety matters first. Robin Tigerton says there were a lot of UTVs, ATVs, and Jeeps out and about, also a lot of campers. And from Cassandra, in talking about the last segment where there was, you know, jet ski fatalities, drownings, driving fatalities, Cassandra writes, yes, please wear your helmets. Get off the phone while driving. Don't be crazy. I've been getting help texts all week because we're so busy in the ICU, which, again, we see that in summertime anyway, but you can do your part to reduce that and to be safe and to be careful out there, especially when the weather is as glorious as it was over the weekend here. Not so much today and tomorrow, Brittany, but then it appears to be a really big warm-up coming up later on, but we got to get through these first couple of not-so-great days first.
Yes, we sure do. I think this weekend was absolutely perfect, crisp, beautiful. I mean, we did have the 10th coolest Memorial Day weekend, 3-day stretch that we've had. So, I mean, it was crisp out there. We usually see a lot of rain showers too, but it was nice to see those dry conditions. And now we've got the system lifting from the south. It's actually headed off to the northeast, but it is still going to swing some chances of showers our way. So we've already got the cloud cover from it. We're going to stay mostly cloudy today, even through tomorrow as well. Some light sprinkles are possible this afternoon, and then some spotty showers, especially far northwest this afternoon and evening. And then those spotty shower chances continue through the day tomorrow too. Very light, on and off, maybe a quarter of an inch from La Crosse to Milwaukee and south. Further up north, you have less chances of that. But high temperatures today in those upper 60s to scraping the low 70s. That's today and tomorrow. And then we're going to be hitting into the 80-degree temperatures as soon as Friday. We kind of cool off for the weekend, but we go right back to those 80s for next week as well. So summer weather is right around the corner. We've just got 2 days to cool off still.
Okay, and some more precautions. This one from Alicia. I burned half my face on Sunday just hanging out with friends. Just half the face, So, you know, sometimes take your friend and reposition. And Cassandra, I was very dumb. I let myself get burned twice. I'm very Irish, she says here. So it was very pleasant weather. But yeah, the sunglasses, the sunscreen, all of that needs to be part of your to-do list for any given big sunny day. From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 49 degrees. It was a very beautiful weekend. I was mowing lawns, watering plants, and watering the plants that are hanging on the streetlight posts. There, that's what he meant to say. Said yesterday he had a cookout with his sister Lori and her family in Caroline. The food was good. I was stuffed and then took pictures of the sunset near Marion. I was down by the Tigerton ATV and UTV park for a walk where he mentioned earlier the seeing all the ATVs out there. He says about his colonoscopy a couple of weeks back, no cancer issue whatsoever. So thank you, Rob, for sharing that. Okay. Says, I hope you all had a super weekend, and I wish Dr. Kristen Lyerly would run for governor. She brings passion and excitement. I wish there was more like her. We were talking in our last hour about the potential candidates for governor if Governor Evers decides not to run for a third term. One more from Rob here. On the highways, slow down. I have seen people passing in the no-passing zone along Highway 45 close to head-on collisions. Yeah, I've seen a lot of that really aggressive driving out there, and there's just no reason for it. And I can't even blame Illinois. You know, there's Wisconsin plates and Minnesota plates. Everybody's got to take it down a notch out there on the roads, please.
Seriously, slow down, take a breath, right? Nothing's worth the rush.
No, and especially if we have, like you said, a little bit of precipitation, slick up the roads. It's also construction season. You may come upon an area that you weren't expecting, you know, that's started with some road work. We've really made it sound like it's just wrap yourself in bubble wrap. Don't even leave the house today, kids. You know, look at Parker and Greg. They can just sit here. They got this great job. They are not, you know, in harm's way at all. Well, except from the abuse from the host and all the people that write in. But, you know, look at Parker just nods us at Parker. It's radio. You got to say amen to that, brother, or something like that.
I mean, yeah, that seems right.
I really want to hear Parker say amen to that, brother. Please say that. Please
amen
say
to that, brother.
There it is.
There it is. Alicia says, on a side note, I look like the Batman villain Two-Face.
Go to a doctor.
It is the worst sunburn to have when it's just on one side of something, you know?
When you sunburn your ears,
Too sensitive, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Maybe this isn't for Brittany with her long hair, but the back of your neck, if you do everything, but then you forget the back of your neck and, you know, suddenly that. Yep. Now you've got itchy shirt collars for the rest of the week or whatever. So, all right. All right, everybody. Stay safe out there. Use your sunscreen. Slow down on the roads.
Happy summer.
Yep. Welcome to Nanny State Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thank you, Brittany. Have a very good day.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you in our next hour. And again, author Laura Bird is coming up in a bit, and we'll talk about summer reads. I wanted to share a couple of things here about what a big day it's going to be on June 14th. For a couple of different reasons, however. There is, of course, it's Flag Day. It's also the birthday of the U.S. Army. And, well, it's also Donald Trump's birthday. And so he wants a military parade. And during the first term of Donald Trump, the Pentagon opposed that, said, we don't want to mix politics and the armed forces. But as reported by the New York Times, in Mr. Trump's second term, that guardrail has vanished. There will be a parade this year. And right now, the current plan calls for 28 Abrams tanks at 70 tons each. Make sure what's going to happen to the roads in Washington, D.C. 28 Stryker armored personnel carriers, more than 100 other vehicles, a World War II era B-25 bomber, 6,700 soldiers, 50 helicopters, 34 horses, 2 mules, and a dog. Again, from the New York Times. The Army estimates the cost to be up to $45 million, but could be higher because the Army has promised to fix any city streets that the parade damages, plus the cost of cleanup and police are not yet part of the estimate. Again, $45 million as we're cutting things like, you know, school lunches and health care and things like that. Well, so on June 14th, there will also be some protests. Among the protests that are being organized come upon a theme. The theme is called No More Kings. And it obviously is not that tongue-in-cheek anymore, given the way that Donald Trump talks and, you know, acts in terms of, you know, his dictatorial style. Well, there will be these local protests all around the country, and that's going to include here in Wisconsin at some communities. And what caught my eye was an article in the Lakeland Times out of Minocqua that spelled out the recent happenings of an Eagle River City Council meeting and a rather contentious discussion involving the First Amendment. The article in the Lakeland Times was written by Fred Williston, and it was all about the organizers of a No Kings rally, and they weren't looking for a permit to protest. They don't need that. It, you know, the First Amendment's on their side. But local organizer Catherine Craffey and others made a request of the city to use an amplifier so that they could use, you know, a microphone during the event. And so the rally, Craffey said, is it's a protest linked with a national event under an organization named Indivisible, and the No Kings rally protest would go from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and it will be a peaceful protest. But then came time for questions, and Alderman Jerry Burkett of Eagle Rivers immediately wanted to ask about whether the protest needed to be where they're planning it to be, Rotary Square. And he said, I have absolutely nothing against this event. I have everything against the location. Rotary Square was a lot of work with donations of time and money from a lot of people. Rotary Square was designed for people to rest and relax while other members of the family are shopping our streets and buying goods. It's got a public bathroom, nice picnic tables, well used by a lot of people. The right to free speech is appreciated, fought for. But I called a spokesperson for the Chamber of Commerce who said, please no protests here. If there's a protest there, there's a percentage of the people that are going to leave downtown Eagle River. I called the Eagle River Revitalization Program, another spokesperson who said, we absolutely understand the right to protest, but please not during June in Eagle River when the tourists are here. The problem, Burkett said, is that 50% of this nation is one way and 50% is the other way politically. And he said he didn't think the city council should risk having 50% of the people in downtown Eagle River on that date leave town or be disgusted with Eagle River. And that's where the discussion kicked off, of course, about, you know, protests and the right to protest and the location of the protest. And it was awfully reminiscent of the Republican convention in Milwaukee last year when there was such a push to move the protest zone away from, you know, people, which seems to be the whole point of the protest. And again, a respectful, peaceful one, not one that is going to disrupt business, because as the local organizers noted, their customers too. And that, frankly, they pointed out that during a past event of theirs, it brought traffic into downtown Eagle River and into their shops and things like that. So is it really about the concerns of the business, or is it about the concerns of what the people are saying? Now, we have no way of knowing, but if this were going to be a, you know, a pro-MAGA event, would we be hearing the same concerns from the same people about the impact on businesses and traffic? Or would it be, just be, well, it's, there's a big military parade going on that day. It's the president's birthday. So let's all wave the flag and all take part in it. I mean, I know which way I feel the discussion would go. But again, as one of the organizers said, let me just say respectfully that the public park belongs to the public and not necessarily to the downtown businesses. So how did this all end after this very long discussion about the First Amendment? Was that the organizers said, look, if this is how you feel, we'll pull back on the request for an amplification device, but we're still showing up. You know, some people won't hear because there won't be a loudspeaker there, but it's still going to happen. So no city council action was needed up in Eagle River, but the entire discussion itself was a very interesting reminder that the First Amendment is for everybody, and that it is not the role of local government officials to push peaceful protest away simply because it's inconvenient. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
On the line with us on WRCO, Chairperson of the Board of Directors for Badger Honor Flight, Brian Ziegler. Brian, boy, it's been a really good season. It sounds like you recently had a really good Badger Honor Flight. I'm sure they all are good, but can you tell us what was special about the most recent one that you went on?
It was a very beautiful day in D.C., sunny, temperatures were great, very warm reception as always for our veterans in D.C. at the airport and at our memorials. So it was a great day for our 87 veterans.
It sounds like from our immediate area, Southwest Wisconsin was pretty well represented, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And that's a great part. You know, we have an 11 county service area, and we want to serve more than what's just in the Madison area, but we have several counties that it's always great to get those veterans from out in those counties.
We have permission from Eileen Stevens, who's part of your administration, to give a couple shout-outs today, Richard Waslick and Dave Durst. And I understand that both gentlemen really enjoy themselves.
Yes, we had a lot of great stories from our veterans. It's great when family members meet unexpectedly with a veteran. So usually it's the guardian that goes on the trip, that they have family members that live in the East Coast that come down and surprise our veterans. And we had some of that again that May 10th flight.
What was the breakdown on the May 10th flight for the wars that were represented?
We had four Korea, Vietnam. We had 81 Vietnam era. We had two that served from Vietnam through the Gulf War. And then we had one that served from Vietnam through the war on terrorism.
Wow. Good representation, no doubt about it. And I know you have another one, Brian, coming up this weekend. What can you tell us about it?
Yes, that'll be our last flight of the spring season. And we are scheduled to be taking 89 veterans from the Vietnam, mainly the Vietnam era, on this flight as well.
And this is a special one, again, the last one kind of the season. And then does the new season begin, like fundraising and those kind of things after that? Or is that kind of a year-round thing?
Our fundraising and recruitment efforts are a year-round activity. What we're going to start doing as soon as we get done with the May 31st flight is that start making phone calls and planning for our three fall dates. And those will be announced very soon.
What are some of the things you do during the year in terms of bringing awareness and fundraising?
For those, we have folks, we have organizations that reach out to us and state that they would like to raise funds for us. The great one that's coming up this weekend is Kopke's Greenhouse out of Oregon, Wisconsin. They have a weekend-long activities. They sell food, and they also have flower pots that they sell all weekend. And then on Sunday afternoon, they do an auction for us. And that has raised well over $10,000 each of the last 5 years. So that's somebody in the outside. We have, like I said, a lot of organizations that reach out to us. But on the veteran and volunteer recruitment efforts, we're getting out there and we do public and speaking involvement. So if we're also looking to potentially get involved in some parades or at county fairs to have information boost. Once again, just to get the word out there about what an organization we are and what it means for our veterans, but also how for folks to get involved and to assist us to help these missions be very successful.
How long have you been a part of Badger Honor Flight, Brian?
I started back in 2009, and then I've been involved in the leadership role for most of that time. I did take a break right before COVID, and then I stepped back in a couple years ago. And it is such a great organization because of the volunteers who make it. And the volunteers work really hard to put on a very well-run. That's why we say it's a trip of a lifetime. We know the impact it has on our veterans and their families, but also the community. And it's just, we hear that. And the best part that I love about this job, one of the best parts, is going to the grocery store and you see a veteran that went on a flight like last fall and their spouse or their family's with them, and they just tell you, thank you very much for everything that you guys did. We never thought that so many people would be thinking of us so many years later.
I see that a lot of them have hats, swag. Do they get those kind of things when they go on the flight?
Yes, we give every one of our veterans a hat, a polo shirt, and a jacket. And then that's all what they wear on day of flight. However, we actually did have a veteran who still fit into his Class A's from his time in the service. That was very impressive to see that, you know, those still fit. But then when they come home, yeah, we give them photos from the flight. We give them photo album books and various other items that do vary by flight. And that's another great way for organizations to get involved. They wish to be part of that. They can reach out to us.
When you first started with Badger Honor Flight, Brian, I'm sure you saw more World War II veterans, didn't you?
Yes, yes. It was all World War II veterans at that time. And then when we started seeing a decrease in the number of World War II veterans on our list, it was just a no-brainer choice for the board to carry that on through Korea. And then obviously through Vietnam.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and we'd like to do some broadcasts maybe after the fact, maybe get some of these veterans on and share their experiences. Brian, thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henrichs.
News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Production Agriculture continuing to be skeptical about the Make America Healthy Again Commission report. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. That commission report released last Thursday. Production Agriculture says they're not buying it. What did the Secretary of Health and Human Services have to say about that? Stand by for his comments.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Robert Kennedy Jr. testified before a Senate committee hearing last week talking about his proposed commission report and what it could do to production agriculture. As he was cross-examined by Republican Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith from Mississippi, Kennedy continued to say nothing in that commission report should cause production agriculture concerns.
You know, there's nobody that has a greater commitment to the American farmer than we do. The MAHA movement collapses if we can't partner with the American farmer in producing a safe, robust, and abundant food supply. And we understand that. I said during my campaign when I was running for president, and I have said repeatedly throughout this process, we cannot take any step that will put a single farmer in this country out of business.
Robert Kennedy Jr., Secretary of Health and Human Services, the group that released the Make America Healthy Again Commission report last Thursday, particularly critical of farm chemical use. Under cross-examination, he said the assumptions the Senate committee were making were totally inaccurate. Markets are next.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Sarbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
In overnight electronic trade on a Tuesday morning, July corn's down a penny, December new crop down 2.25 at 448.5. July soybeans are up 4, November new crop right now up 3.5, 1054. July wheat's down 6 at 536.5. The June class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 6 at 1940, July 18 cents stronger at 1983 a hundredweight. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers, even a rumble of thunder or two possible today, tonight into tomorrow. Won't be a lot of rain, though. Maybe a tenth of an inch or more, a little more in a few spots. Today, mostly cloudy, 68. Tonight, we'll drop down to near 50. Tomorrow, our highs will be in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back. Normally, we will have Dan Schaefer on 8:30 on Tuesdays and Melissa Baldoff 8:30 on Wednesdays. We switched them around because of vacations and other things, and so Melissa Baldoff is kind enough to be here an hour from now. We'll talk a little politics and climate and the environment, and then Dan Schaefer will join us tomorrow morning at 8:30 here across the Civic Media Radio Network. But right now, coming up on 7:36, we're going to talk to author Laura Ann Bird, because summer is coming. So are a bunch of new releases, perfectly timed for reading on the beach, kicking back in your porch swing with a cold one, whatever beverage you read best with. Laura Ann, hello, how are you?
Hello, Pat. Happy unofficial start to summer, right?
Absolutely.
I feel like Memorial Day kind of kicks us off, and here we are.
I know, it does. I have a newer hammock that I spent all of like 30 seconds in before I felt guilty about some other house chores, but at least I spent a little bit of time in there with a book. I'll talk about that one a little bit later on. But other people will spend more time in a hammock, more time on a porch swing, doing some reading, and so... For a lot of folks, they're looking forward to some of the new releases that are coming out. And we'll talk about those in just a minute. But I wanted to find out from your standpoint, how you find out about these things. How do you know what's coming down? How can you be the first on your block to read something and tell your book club all about it?
Right. That's a great question. And I get asked that a lot. Well, Laura, how do you know about what books are coming out? And I have a few great tips and resources for your listeners, and they're all free, which is great. So if you're a public library user, you go to your public library, and I think every single library carries a copy of Book Page magazine, and I'm holding up the May copy right now. It comes out every month. It's free. It's usually by the reference desk, but ask your librarian where it is. And it's all the new releases for that month, and it's got great reviews and author interviews. I read this religiously every month, Book Page. If you don't live close to a library, you can go to their website, bookpage.com, and access that same information. Also at my library, at Madison Public Library, they do a great job every quarter printing these flyers called Beyond Bestsellers. And they do one for fiction, one for nonfiction. It's just like this little thing, and it's got like all the titles that they're going to be stocking on their shelves, with like a 1 to 2 sentence description of each one. So I love these. I think each library might kind of have a different publication. So ask your librarian what's available to you. But if you are a bookstore person, as I know some people are, as always, I suggest going to your local independent shop. Go there first. All the independent bookshops will have every month a copy of Indie Next. And it's this wonderful trifold publication. Again, it's free, and it's got a list of all the hot titles as recommended by indie booksellers. If you don't live close to your, if you don't have a bookstore close to you, you can go to indiebound.org. And again, you can access that very same information right there online. But that's going to really keep you in the know about what books are coming out, what are the hot titles, what's the buzz, right? Also, I suggest if you do have an independent bookshop that you love, subscribe to their e-newsletter. I get a few e-newsletters every month. Depends on the bookstore. Some come out 1 a week, information putting on their shelves. So that's pretty exciting.
Okay. So now that turns us to what exactly either you'll be reading or other people will be reading. And a lot of these, I think you note, are coming out in June. So you just got a little quick synopsis on them, but help mm-hmm. people determine if these are things that they yeah. might want to add to their summer reading list.
Right. So I have 7 recommendations across a bunch of different genres. So based on whatever you love to read, I've got a recommendation for you. And of course, I don't actually have the books in hand yet because they are not out, but I have great little photocopies of the front covers. So we're going to start with literary fiction. That's my favorite genre, Pat. So Among Friends is a new book by Hal Ebbett, and he's a debut novelist, and this book is getting so much buzz. Early reviews are saying that he writes with hypnotic elegance and molten precision. So this is going to be a good one. This is about 2 families that have been incredibly close through the years. The husbands, the wives, their teenage daughters, they've spent all this time together, and they're gathered at a New York country house to celebrate the 52nd birthday of the host. And something is off this weekend. There's this curdling of envy and resentment, and it erupts into something terrible and really drives a wedge between these people that have loved each other so much. But it's supposed to be getting great reviews. Okay. So the next one I want to talk about, if you like speculative fiction, think sci-fi, The Unmapping by Denise S. Robbins. And this is exciting because she's actually a Wisconsin author, but this book is getting great buzz. It's an exploration of a city's descent into chaos and confusion. So it starts at 4 a.m. in New York City, and it's a silent disaster. There's no flash of light. There's no crumbling. There's no earthquake. But each person in New York wakes up on an unfamiliar block after the buildings have all switched locations overnight. Ooh. The power grid is snapped. Thousands of people are missing, and the Empire State Building is now on Coney Island. And the next night, it happens all over again. So this is all about scientists rushing to find a solution, and can the New Yorkers cope? Lots of unanswered questions here, but Denise Robbins tackles themes of climate change and political unrest in her fantastic debut, The Unmapping.
I like that because even for some, I'm not a natural science fiction reader, but when you put it in something real like that, and the premise of mm-hmm. these are very tangible things, but they're simply switching locations yeah. mysteriously. I mean, not that intrigues me very much. So I'm glad to hear about that
yeah.
one. What do you
yeah,
have? What do you have in the romance category next?
Romance. This is the genre I read the least amount of, so I don't know what that says about me as a person. Perhaps I'm just cold-hearted. I don't know. No. But we have Finders Keepers by Sarah Adler, and this book looks so cute. So it's about a woman named Nina who's a professor, and she's about to move into this fabulous new apartment with her fabulous boyfriend. But then suddenly, she's single, unemployed, and living with her parents. Guess who also is home? Quentin, her childhood neighbor and childhood crush. He's back in town, and he wants to resume the treasure hunt that ended their friendship almost 2 decades ago. This treasure hunt, you're probably wondering about that. There's a rumor that this wealthy businessman in town left behind riches, and it's sort of like this game for people to track down these riches. So now Nina and Quentin are older and wiser. Can they find the treasure? But more important, can they pick up where they left off and maybe create a future together?
Okay.
Who knows?
All right. Let's attack some nonfiction.
Oh, I love nonfiction. This one I'm so excited about. It's called It's Only Drowning, a true story of learning to surf and the search for common ground. And this is by David Litt. So David Litt is a Yale-educated former speechwriter for President Obama, which I think is fabulous. And his existential dread blossoms as the crises in America pile up. But David notices that Matt, his brother-in-law, who's tattooed, he drives a truck, he loves Joe Rogan, his brother-in-law is super chill. So does Matt's favorite hobby, surfing, have something to do with this Zen vibe? So David decides to take up surfing himself, and he moves to the Jersey Shore and starts taking surfing lessons, even though he's terrified of sharks, and he wipes out over and over again. But he sets this goal of riding a big wave in Hawaii, and he and his brother-in-law, Matt, set out for this journey to the dangerous North Shore in Oahu. So his book, It's Only Drowning, is a laugh out loud love letter to surfing and unlikely friendships and embarking on adventures at any age.
Wow. We are talking to Laura Ann Bird about some of the new releases coming out for the summer. So we've covered those categories. What do we got left here? We got thrillers, mysteries. Let's do the thrillers next.
Yeah. Yeah. For the people who love to like have their mind messed around when they read books, these are hard for me because I get really messed up. But Lisa Jewell is a New York Times bestselling author. She's known for her thrillers. Her new thriller is coming out in June, Don't Let Him In, and it's described by early reviews as a jaw-dropping page-turner. So it's about a man named Nick who's got substance and good taste, and he's just what Nina needs in her life after her husband has died unexpectedly. But to Nina's adult daughter, Ash, Nick seems too slick, too polished, and too good to be true. So without telling her mom, Ash begins to dig into Nick's past, and what she finds is really unsettling. So the characters here are on a collision course with a shocking truth that is darker than anyone could have imagined. And the takeaway here is don't let him in.
Okay. Now we've moved on to mystery.
Mystery, Happy Wife by Meredith Lavender and Kendall Shores. So this is about a 28-year-old woman named Nora who's barely making ends meet. She's working at a country club in this super wealthy area of Florida. And then she meets a man named Will, who's an attorney. He's about 20 years older than her. And they begin this whirlwind romance and they get married, raising a ton of eyebrows, as you can imagine. But things get really crazy when Will vanishes the morning after a birthday party that Nora throws for him. So Happy Wife is a mystery that flips back and forth between Nora and Will's romance and the search for Will in the wake of his disappearance. So the authors here combine suspense and juicy social dynamics and a really unforgettable cast of characters.
All right. And one more takes us to the
last
category,
one.
Psychological suspense.
Psychological suspense. We go from a happy wife now to a happy marriage. So A.R. Torrey, the author here, poses the question, what holds a strong and loving marriage together? That's a great question. So this centers on Los Angeles homicide detective Dinah, and she's happily married to her psychiatrist husband, Joe. They seem compatible on the surface, but as it turns out, she's been keeping a secret from him, and he's been keeping a secret from her. So a missing woman tied to Dinah's latest case is admitted to Joe's hospital, and the doctor-patient confidentiality lands Joe and Dinah's marriage on really shaky ground. So things get messy really fast here as all these carefully constructed lies on both sides begin to cave in with the potential to kill. So that's all I will tell you.
Wow. Okay. That is a very ambitious list. And whether you want to get one of them or all seven of them, you can get those requests in now at your local library. And thanks to you, some folks are going to get it sooner than they would have otherwise. Because you'll be high up on the waiting list there. The other thing you can do is you can head over to bookshop.org as well as libro.fm. I think I've got those two put up on screen as well here. There we go, bookshop.org and libro.fm, or your local independent bookseller. And would you would suggest pre-ordering as being helpful as well, right, Laura?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, we had a little signal drop there by Laura. Tell you what, I'll tell you more about that, and then we'll talk to Laura when she pops back on here in just a bit. But again, bookshop.org is basically your Amazon alternative, if you will, to support independent bookstores. And Libro.fm, Libro.fm, is the equivalent of that for audiobooks. And you can go and support your local bookseller that way. And that's what I did through the bookshop.org. I don't know where my nearest local independent bookshop is. I went there and found out that there's a store in Menominee that I could patronize, and did that. And I'll talk to Laura about my latest purchase when we communicate next. Here on Mornings Across the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlaw.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Today we're looking at a principle called the Gingles Test that federal courts use when determining whether a gerrymandered redistricting map is a violation of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. How that test is interpreted can determine whether minority voters can elect the candidate of their choice or their vote is diluted by an anti-voter state legislature. A group of black voters sued the North Carolina legislature in 1982, arguing their voting districts violated the Voting Rights Act by diluting their vote and keeping black North Carolinians from electing the candidate of their choice. Before it came to trial, Congress clarified the VRA to say intentional discrimination didn't need to be proved, just the effect of discrimination was enough to be a violation of Section 2. Thornburg v. Gingles created a three-part test for federal courts to use when considering whether a VRA violation had occurred. It stipulates the minority group is sufficiently large and geographically compact to constitute a majority in a single-member district. The minority group is politically cohesive, usually voting the same way, and the white majority votes sufficiently as a bloc, usually defeating the minority's preferred candidate. As shown in the recent overturning of Louisiana's new congressional map, the interpretation of geographically compact and politically cohesive still leaves wiggle room for discrimination. We have more on Gingles and the VRA at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Recently, Riverdale Education Foundation gave out money to its recipients in the district and helping with different things, different items, the purchase of some things for classrooms and whatnot. And prior to the program, Riverdale Administrator Jeff Campbell talked about the organization.
Support these fundraisers whether you receive an award or not. Even a donation to this organization, it's all volunteer time that they put in. Without their support for the past 18 years, there would be a significant decline in the learning environment for all of our Riverdale students. Education is definitely the cornerstone of our community, and the awards we recognize this afternoon are a testament to the hard work, perseverance, and passion that define Riverdale. And as we honor these individuals, let us acknowledge the collective effort that makes such success possible.
Jeff Campbell then turned the microphone over to Riverdale Community Education Foundation President Greg Kinney.
On behalf of the Riverdale Community Education Foundation, I'd like to thank you all for coming to our award ceremony today. This is our 16th year of giving out disbursements to the teachers and staff. We've been in an organization for 18, but it took a couple years for us to get going. So this year we'll be giving back $13,784 to 24 different award winners in the regular category. We will be giving out $2,900 to two winners in the Stanley Havlick category. We also have a new category that we added this past year, and that's called the Riverdale Education Enhancement Award. This award is about giving students opportunities that maybe they would never get in life or never get to experience in life. That amount is $2,260. So our total for this year is $18,944. We broke our record from last year. And our new grand total is $150,480 since we've been in existence. Our organization is truly grateful to everyone who has donated to us this past year. We had many donations from individuals and organizations that really do appreciate what we are trying to do for the teachers and students at Riverdale. And without them, this doesn't happen.
Greg Kinney then went on to hand out awards and make announcements of those who would be recipients for the upcoming 2025-26 school year. I had the chance to chat with some of those recipients following the program at Riverdale.
Anya Drone is one of the recipients here today. Tell me about the new 4K classroom that you're very excited about, I know.
I am very excited. For the first time in 25 years, but who's counting, I will have a teammate that we're going to add and have just an extra person to help teach all of the kids, share the load, that kind of thing. But we knew we needed to update the classroom, and so the foundation has gotten us some funds so we can do that before that person is ready to get started. So,
can you give us an example of some of the things that you'll be adding to the classroom?
Anything such as, you know, just equipment around the room or furniture. Everything seems to cost so much more these days. And to have the foundation support where, you know, if you looked in a catalog to buy, especially something for kiddos, if it's sturdy enough or durable, it costs just more than you would think. So for them to be able to purchase, you know, a bookcase or a seating arrangement for our reading space, tables, manipulative toys, anything like that just would add up very quickly. So, yeah, an $800 stipend will be a lovely little addition for our new room. So,
and you went up there a couple of times. The foundation, you know, comes through quite a bit. And a lot of the applications that go in come back, don't they?
They have. I've felt this love all the way through. I have had the foundation's children and grandchildren, and so they very much support me in my adventures. And so this year I have a few things in the classroom that have stood the test of time but now need to be replaced. And they will stop in from time to time when we invite them, or they love when we will send pictures out to the foundation and just see the kids enjoying the items that they've purchased for us. I am not a golfer or a bowler, but I do participate in the Winter Carnival every year, and it is such a fun adventure where it's all within our beautiful building. The foundation has made up some of the coolest little carnival games, and the kids get to come and for a nominal fee. You know, the food's a small amount, bouncy houses are a small amount, but otherwise they can come and just play these fun free games for a nice, usually cold winter day, and just hang out, and they're nice and tired when they go home, and parents have them fed, and they can probably take a nap.
Yeah. Well, it's a unique organization because all the money comes right back here to the school, and you as educators, it's hard to do. You couldn't probably do your job if you didn't have outside help, right?
Absolutely. Especially, I can't imagine for a school as, you know, your own personal budget at home. You know how far it just doesn't go at the grocery store anymore. And so for a school to think, okay, we have to buy paper, we have to buy all the basic necessities, there just isn't anything left for anything extra like that. But we don't want our school to be like that. We want it to have, you know, the latest and greatest and all the ways that we can reach all of our students, and the foundation just provides us with that.
Great. Well, congratulations on the awards here today.
Thank you very much.
You bet. That's Anya Drone joining us here from Riverdale Schools. Jesse Kinney next to join us here. Jesse, tell us a little bit about what you were focused on and what the money that you received from the foundation is going to go to.
So it's been a two-year process. Last year I kind of did something similar, and we've been working on changing the furniture, which is expensive, in the classroom. The kids are in desks, they're in chairs, seated at tables all day. We have been able to implement some of like office comfy chairs, a futon, a coffee table, some phone chargers. So it's kind of like a spot where they can just come and they can still get stuff done, but it's almost like modeling after their house. So it's a little bit, we try to dim the lights, have different lighting options and things like that, just to take a little bit of the abrasive day away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So a chill spot. I've heard other districts doing this as well. It's a good tool, I think, to have, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I only see a certain clientele in my building usually, and this has kind of opened the door for me to build some more relationships with different kids, because you know, when there's passing periods or there's, you know, a homeroom or times where they can really kind of wander and have some downtime, I now have a few more kids that I wouldn't normally work with that I can build some more relationships with, and it just is a more welcoming and comfortable, safe environment.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In Liverpool, England, a car plowed down a crowded street, injuring dozens of people. ABC's Ian Pannell's on the scene.
The city celebrating Liverpool Football Club's historic league championship win. Hundreds of thousands of fans filling the streets, a sea of red, cheering the victorious team. Then, police say, around 6 p.m., as the parade was ending, the driver of the vehicle plowing into the crowd. People surrounding the vehicle, trying to smash the windows and get to the driver.
Police say it's not terrorism, but they have no motive at this time. A 53-year-old man is in custody. Three more of the inmates who escaped from a New Orleans jail earlier this month were recaptured on Monday. That means only two prisoners are still on the loose. A former police chief in rural Arkansas is also on the loose. Grant Hardin broke out of a prison where he'd been serving time for rape and murder. Two killed, nine wounded in a mass shooting in Philadelphia last night. This is